But look at Psalm 127. If you've never noticed this, Psalm 127 and 128 are a pair of psalms that talk about the stages. The first two verses of Psalm 127 say this: unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it, including even godly parents. If the Lord's not building that family, we're doing it in vain. Continues, look at verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, sit up late, and eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. You know, he says, don't be nervous and anxious and troubled and fretting about that. And basically what that's saying is that if you lay a godly foundation, you can sleep at night. That's a paraphrase. But that's what he says. He says, if you let God lay the foundation, then you won't be troubled and worried. Verses 3 through 5 of the 127th Psalm tell us we should trust God for the fruitfulness in our family. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Now that's the ideal perspective on children. That's not the world's perspective. My wonderful wife is sitting in the back, and I see her back there, and I don't know how many times people have come up to her at grocery stores, Walmart, and they say, they look, you know, she'll have two or three children in the basket, and one sitting in the little seat of the basket, and one holding on to her dress, and they'll say, I'm so sorry for you. And she'll say, why? Well, you know, they look on children as kind of like chemo, or, you know, having some type of ailment, or maybe like you're handicapped because you have children, you can't do what you want to do, and you can't spend your money the way you want to spend. But what does God say? He says children are a heritage from him. And they're like, verse 4 says, like arrows in the hands of a warrior. I mean, it's what you need. If you're a warrior, you need arrows. And if you want to raise the next generation for the glory of God, then nothing better than having children that you invest in their lives. Verse 5, happy is the one who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gate. And it just talks about the fruitfulness God brings. Well, Psalm 128 continues the idea. If you look at that, it says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, it shall be happy. It will be well with you. Look at this. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine. And this is talking about the happy family life. In the very heart of your home, that means the mother is at home. Now that's a rarity in our culture too. And your children will be like olive plants all around your table. That, you know what that's suggesting? That children are home and eating meals with their parents. That's another rarity in our culture nowadays. Families don't eat together. Families don't sit together. Families don't talk together. Families don't grow together. The American culture has driven stakes into the heart of one of the most powerful institutions God ever created. And the first one he created, and that's marriage in the home. So this psalm says this, and this is how the 128th concludes. Look at verse 5 of Psalm 128. It says, if you will lay a godly foundation, that's the first half of 127, trust God for bringing fruitfulness, that's the second half of 127. In 128, enjoy your happy family life. Verse 5 says, you and I will reap the joys in old age of a satisfying family. Here's what it says. The Lord will bless you out of Zion. May you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Look at this. Yes, may you see your children's children. In the Hebrew vernacular, their way of living, that was the ultimate blessing. To see your children follow the godly heritage and find the one of God's choosing for them, and for them to have children and to live long enough to see your children's children. Isn't that an exciting thing to think about? You ever thought what your children's children are going to look like? Are they going to look even more like the Lord than you do? I mean, that's the privilege we have. Well, I think it's fascinating to just dig in the scriptures, and that's why I want to go to Proverbs, chapter 10. And we're going to look at several different Proverbs real quickly before I conclude in Deuteronomy. But look at Proverbs 10:1. Because if God says that there's great rewards in parenting, what happens if you neglect them? Dads especially. What happens if you kind of take the excuse that I work and, you know, I've got a lot of demands and all that, and my wife can do it? What happens if you neglect parenting? Well, Proverbs 10:1 is the beginning of a list of six terrible, tragic results of neglecting God's desire and command for us to parent. The first one in Proverbs 10:1, it says, "A wise son maketh glad his father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." Now, Proverbs 17:25 says the same thing. "A foolish son is a bitterness to her that bare him." So the Proverbs talk about that. Number one, what is the first effect of neglecting parenting? A grief and heaviness to the parents. You know, I think about that when I see some of the things going on. You ever go to a store and see a child screaming and yelling until they get their way? You know what that is? That's a grief and a heaviness to those parents. They might not even know it. They probably screamed and yelled as a child too, and they think it's normal. But it's not, and it's not acceptable. Well, look at Proverbs 15:5, just a little bit to the right. The second effect of neglecting parenting is that the child will become a rebel. Now, as we studied this summer, and the men and the women, a lot of them went through the changed into his image study all summer, we learned that there are many kinds of rebels. There are the quiet, passive rebels. There's the overt rebels. There are all kinds of rebels. But look what Proverbs 15:5 says. "A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent." So what it says is someone who despises his father's instruction, rebels against it, is a fool. You know what the Bible says a fool has? They will be cut off. They don't have hope. A foolish person. Do you remember the man whose name was Fool? Nabal is the word fool in Hebrew. And there's a man called Nabal. Abigail was his wife. God cut him off. He was so foolish. And a child that's neglected will be a rebel, a grief. Look at chapter 17, the 17th chapter of Proverbs. Here's a third effect of neglecting parenting, and that's why it's so important that we do this study. Because a child that is neglected by the parents, it says in Proverbs 17:21, "He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy." Look at verse 25 of Proverbs 17. "A foolish son is a grief to his father." You want to have sorrow? Cultivate your career more than you cultivate your children, and you are headed for a life of sorrow. I just met with someone, not from this church. In fact, they're not from this area. They came in a very special way. They wanted to talk, and they told me their situation. I actually listened for a whole hour at their situation. I looked at them, and I said, actually, point of this verse, I said, "You're going to have a life of sorrow." I'm not reading your palm. I'm reading the book. And look what it says. Verse 21, "If you beget a fool," and what's a fool? A fool is someone that despises their father's instruction, it said in 15:5. We already looked at that. And if those kids despise instruction and they despise their father's authority, they're a fool. They're foolish children. And what will that produce? Sorrow to the parents. And that's all produced by neglecting. You know what's interesting about David? David was a man after God's own heart, but he was a rotten father, sadly. You know what it says? There's only one comment about David's parenting. It says he neglected his children. It says that. He neglected correcting his children. The king's sons did what they wanted to do. Fourth, look at chapter 19. The fourth effect of neglecting to parent is those children will become a disaster. 19:13 says this, "A foolish son is the calamity of his father." Now there are some hope. There's some hope in all this, because I will always remember when we were at Grace Community Church of the Valley in Panorama City, California, and I was just brand new starting out in the ministry. It was my second pastoral ministry, and I was newlywed with Bonnie, and we had a very challenging child, and he was just carrying on. And I remember that the pastor of the church, John MacArthur, said, "That's nothing." He said, "My father was playing golf." Jack MacArthur was playing golf with the chairman of the board of the church where he grew up, where John MacArthur grew up. And he said, a policeman came up onto the golf course and said, "Dr. MacArthur, we've just arrested your son, and you need to come into the jail and get him out." And it was little Johnny MacArthur who was shoplifting. And they put him in the pen. And so he said, "Your Johnny is not doing anything bad right now." And so that was hopeful. But you know what? They can turn out. But they will be a disaster. Do you know that was a calamity to his dad? I mean, you know, how would you like a policeman to come up while, you know, you can just imagine it. Number five, look at chapter 19, verse 26. The fifth effect of neglecting parenting is that the children are a disgrace. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causes shame and bringeth reproach. They are a disgrace. What it means is they just are taking away your resources, they're taking away your joy, they're taking away your time. They're just a disgrace. They're just a consumer. They're not a giver, they're a taker. And finally, look at chapter 28, the last one with me, please, in Proverbs. The last effect of neglected parenting is that child will not only be a grief, a rebel, a sorrow, a disaster, and a disgrace, but that child will be using his parents. And Proverbs 28:24 says this, "Whoso robbeth his father or mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer." And you know, over the years, I've been a pastor 22 years. Do you know how many homes I've been in where the parents are installing new locks on different doors of the house because the kids are stealing from them and breaking in and taking this, taking that? And can you imagine what it would be like to think of your children as criminals in your own home and to have to change the locks and put bolts on your windows so they don't sneak in and steal stuff? That's the result of a neglected child. It's just tragic.